days. I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Christmas. Hallelujah. Many of us are still celebrating Christmas, which is a good thing. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. No better way to celebrate Christmas than to be in God's presence. Amen. Amen. I trust that many of us were here on Friday evening for the Christmas Eve service. I've heard good things about that. It's hard to be in two places at once, but if I could, if I would have on that night. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you're a guest of ours, we want to welcome you here in the house of God. And if you're online, we want you to feel like you're in the house of God. And we can stay connected with you if you will do us a favor and fill out a connection card. Let us know that you are with us, and we'll be glad to share with you our thanks. We have a small gift for you if you can, if you will turn in that card at the kiosk in the vestibule or give it to one of the ushers and online do the bit.ly link, and we'll let you know, show you our appreciation. We're grateful for that. We have several giving options since we no longer go down the aisle and have a basket. You can do it online. You can give in person here, of course, by putting it in the box on the kiosk in the vestibule. You can give by mail, sending it to our street address. It's listed there. And, of course, there is the ever-present app. You can do it on your phone. So please consider that, and we will. God will obviously, according to his word, he has promised he will bless those that give, in Jesus' name. This Wednesday, no evening service, no midweek service on Wednesday. The office will be closed this week. We're giving everyone that night off. So if you're welcome to come and pray if you have access to the building, but there won't be a service. Friday evening will be our New Year's Eve service here. It will be hosted by Voces Unidas and AIM. Anyone here from AIM or Voces this morning? Yeah, Sister Claudia. Praise God. All right. Let's stand. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you're not aware of it, this is the one service we're having this morning. We're not having two sessions. There will be no 11 o'clock session, so that gives Pastor Jerry great liberty when he gets to the pulpit. And let's pray for this service. Let's pray for all of our loved ones. Of course, our nation, we're still in the world. We're going through another wave of COVID. And everybody has an opinion about it, but I guess those that have had COVID maybe have the right to have the opinion that we should pray about. So let's pray for all of those who have COVID, have struggled with it, and who are recovering from it, and ask for God to help us to honor him during this time. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, for what you are doing here. We thank you, God, for the ministry of your Spirit among us. Lord, there's so much division in the world. I ask, oh God, for your healing virtue and your one presence to come among us and bring unity to our hearts and minds in this holiday season, that we can be a light to the world around us, that we can be a blessing to those who differ in opinion. We ask, oh God, for your blessing upon the body of Christ this morning as we gather together, that in this place your name will be glorified, your word will be magnified, and our hearts will be changed according to your will. We ask for your blessing upon the man of God as he brings us the word of God, and upon all who hear this word, let your will be done, let your kingdom come, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And my God will never.
You take what the enemy meant for you, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for you, and you turn it for good. You turn.
Let's just praise the Lord for a moment, church. God is good. He's here. I feel His presence in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think I'd want to go to a church where I couldn't feel God. Amen. I don't know what that would be like, but it's not something I would want to experience. I want to experience God. I want to know Him. I want Him to know me. It's important. We're going to spend eternity with Him. We better get to know Him here. Amen. Amen. I guess I'll get started. They gave me a lot of time. I got an hour and 35 minutes. So. Amen. So, if you wouldn't mind, if you can take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Thank you for that awesome worship this morning. Led us into the glory of God. Amen. That was awesome. Everyone got your Bible out? Did you bring a Bible with you today? Or your phone at least? Wave it out. You got one? All right. So we all have something to work with this morning. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. It's one of those scriptures that stick to your bones. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. We can be seated today. As you all are aware, 2022, say it with me, 2022. So we're about to enter that season where we scribble through the one and write a two on every check and everything you sign, every signature. For at least for me, it goes on. I'm still signing things 2020. Is anyone having that problem? So I skipped the whole 2021 thing, and so I'll probably be scratching through zeros and writing twos. But we're getting into 2022. It's upon us. Growing up, it was a non-negotiable for at least the people down south, it seemed like, that you must make at least one New Year's resolution. I fear we have created a culture in this modern society that we live in that has drifted away from commitment, and therefore we begin to evade and avoid New Year's resolutions. Anyone guilty of not really making a New Year's resolution in 2021? Let's see a show of hands. Real hands. Like, did you make one? No. Did you know the reason why you might not have made one is because you're like, this is like signing a contract with yourself. Like, I'm making an agreement with myself that I'm going to have to work harder, do things that I don't necessarily want to do out of my comfort zone. Anybody wanting to lose some weight
Anybody wanting to get finished with some projects? Anybody wanting to complete some things in their life or do some things at this? And all of a sudden, 2021, we're coming to a close. And how much of that got done without a plan? Anyone do it all without a plan? Some of you guys are overachievers. I don't like you. You guys don't just wake up every day and you're like, New Year's, New Day's resolution. Today I will do this. And you just do it. Me, I need a real, real solid plan. Amen. So New Year's resolutions, we're afraid of commitment, I believe, in this modern day. That's what's involved in seeing our highest dreams and goals accomplished sometimes take a lot of effort. Amen. Does anybody dream big in here anymore? Anybody got any big dreams anymore? Come on now. Come on. I'm just looking. I mean, what about you, Brother Seidel? You got any? I put him on the spot. I've talked to many people lately who want to pursue God's call on their lives in 2022. From planting a church to starting a new ministry, writing a book, I've heard, getting or finishing a degree, creating a connection group in their community, or simply getting involved in what God is doing and see what God can do with their willingness to be used. Did anybody fall into that category this morning? Somewhere between heaven's glory, mansions on streets of gold and crystal seas and living next door to the holy temple in New Jerusalem of Jesus in the city of God and unlimited Dorito Locos tacos, every day is Taco Tuesday, is our daily lives here on earth, regular earth, where we have gravity and calories and nosy neighbors and fractured families and flat tires. I had a flat tire this morning. Regular jobs, student loans for our degrees that we don't typically use all the way. Ingrown toenails. Ordinary hopes and dreams, reservations, fears, and everything else in between. Paul really put all of this into perspective. And please forgive me because I'm going to be using some slides so there won't be a scripture on the screen for a moment, but you'll have to just hear me out. In 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Eternity. It's really not a thought that crosses our minds enough. I mean, occasionally it crosses my mind when I'm pumping gas and I look out into the sky waiting for that click. And my hybrid car, which is supposed to be saving me tons of money, is now hitting over $50 a tank. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? You know, it's like, this thing's supposed to be saving me money, and it feels like it's draining me. And I just look out into the clouds, and I'm like, you know, someday all this money is going to start running out. You know, things are getting more expensive. And I start to understand, look at this world, our government scared to come out of their hole, but they're not scared to raise our taxes. They're just, it's just weird. Everything's so weird right now. I feel like God is just kind of setting us up for a layup almost. It's like people are looking for something now. And I don't think eternity crosses our mind enough. It might be crossing some of our neighbor's mind more than you realize. As I was sitting down putting my thoughts together over the past few days for this morning's message, I felt an overwhelming push from God to help CGC drop a little weight in preparation for an amazing journey he wants to take us on in the upcoming year of 2022 and beyond. I couldn't get away from this feeling that God is wanting us as a team, as a group, as a church, as a family, to be ready for a journey. God wants us to be ready to carry also a more valuable burden for him. This is the feeling that I get, is that the things that God wants us to carry into 2022 need to have some purpose, some usefulness, some eternal value and some hope involved. In order to do that, some things might need to be thrown out of our lives. Other things might need to be just lightened and simplified. Other things might need to just be better organized. Anybody have a dirty garage problem? I mean, it just happens. I don't even know. It was like crazy. It's like, just put it in the garage. And then, like, after about 30 of those, you're like, we got to take some stuff out of the garage. And so other things might need to be, like I said, lightened and simplified. Other things might need to be just organized better. But some things might need just to be packed tighter for the journey. I'm not just speaking of physical things. Today I'm speaking of the weights that we carry sometimes on our mind. Anybody have a cluttered mind sometimes? You just got too much going on, or you just got too much of the wrong things going on. Maybe you just got one big wrong thing going on, and it's just enough to take your whole entire day and waste it. I'm also talking about weights on our spirits, weights of past regrets, past problems, things that have hurt, different things that have come into our lives, or maybe the things that we're dealing with even today. Weights on our financial lives. Like I said earlier, the inflation issue for me is real. because whenever it was already tight, 30% on everything marked up is kind of like, okay, what are we going to do now? And so, and I'm also talking about even physical weights that are even on our own backs. I'm going to try to use some slides today, so you can just relax. This is actually, I'm still in Sunday school right now, so you guys, we're not preaching yet. When we get past that 11 o'clock mark, I'll start preaching, all right? Okay, so I got to turn this thing on. I see a little red button on the left. I hope that's the right one, Jess. Today, the sermon title is Weight of Glory. The scripture I read said, our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Some of us are burdened without purpose. It's the most frustrating thing for me to run into a Christian who's living for God and doing the basics of their life for God. They're living a little bit of the walk. You know, they're doing enough of it to be at church. They're doing enough of it to be a part. But you can tell that they're burdened without a purpose. You ask them, it's like, hey man, you want to come and hang out, or you want to come to the connection group, or you want to go on outreach, and you're like, man, I'm too busy. I have this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing. And, you know, this just, sometimes you're like, what's the purpose of all that burden that you're carrying around, and all this weight and all this extra events and things that you're doing? Where are we going with this? What is the purpose of this? What is it? And I just feel like today that there's some of us maybe here today that are burdened without a purpose. I think back of, recently I've been on two Man Up Adventures, but before when Man Up Adventures first started, I was one of the first people to go on one. Recently I went to the Ozark trip. It's a new trip down in the Ozarks. Josh was with me. A couple of you other guys have been on this trip. It's amazing. But I hadn't been on a real hike for a while. So I went down to Walmart and I bought me a backpack. It was like a school backpack. And it had like the zippers for rulers and like where you put your cell phone and all that cool stuff. And I had kind of forgotten how cool it is to have a real backpack when you go on these hikes. So I had this goofy like school padded backpack, and it was kind of small and awkward. And so I was thinking of all the things I daily use whenever I go to work or I go to do something. So I immediately loaded the bottom of my backpack full of Mountain Dew. So I had about 6 or 7 cans of Mountain Dew all lining the bottom. I thought the heaviest thing probably is going to end up settling to the bottom. So I just went ahead and preemptively put those all the way down at the bottom. And then I thought, you know, I'm from Arkansas, Benton, Arkansas. The thing I remember most about going in the woods in Arkansas, number one thing, snakes. It's just snakes, man. It's like you go to Arkansas, you go in the woods, there's chiggers, which are bad. You just don't lay in the grass in Arkansas. Then there's ticks, which are pretty bad, but you can flick those guys off. But snakes, they don't flick off. Like, they get on you, they're on you. And so I went down and I bought a machete. You remember the machete, Josh? So I had this machete. It's like this long. It wasn't a super expensive machete. I thought, one-time use, that's all I need. And so I put this machete in the back, and it's like dangling out the top like I'm like some kind of like medieval warrior. It's got the big handle on it, and I'm like, it's heavy. It's like 5 pounds solid, like Chinese stainless steel. And I put like other things in there, a bunch of like binoculars and weird stuff. And the thing was like packed to the brim. I could barely zip it. So I'm like just kicking it and smashing it and kicking it and smashing it. And I'm like, that's going to be a problem when I want a Mountain Dew. So I kind of threw a few things out. So on the first trip out, we got out there and I kind of forgot about the bag lunches stuff. We make a bag lunch and I forgot about it. So I had like at least 15 pounds of snacks in there. And so I had all these, like a whole box of granola bars and like all this stuff. And I'm like, about 5 miles into this hike, I'm like, this thing's starting to get a little heavy. My arms are getting numb. My back's starting to hurt. I'm leaning a lot down here. And then Josh is continually trying to race me. And I'm like, Josh, we are the two largest people on this trip. We're both plus 250. We did not do the training that they said we should do to get here. And we're out trying to outrun all these guys that are about 100 pounds lighter and 10 years younger than both of us. And so we were running up the thing, and I'm like, man, when I get back to the tent, some of this stuff is coming out because I cannot carry all this load. I thought, you know, this isn't a big deal. I put it on my back, tried it out for the first 5 minutes, but this is a lot different trying it on and in your mind seeing how this is all going to play out than whenever you actually get on the mountain. And you actually try to take a trip up the mountain with all that junk on your back. I felt like I was burdened with a lot of unnecessary things when I got to my destination. And I started realizing that some of the things I needed needed to be a lot lighter, and they needed to be just a lot more. I can't back up. So Jess warned me about not backing up. You can just turn that off. She backed me up. That's awesome. So when we got back to camp, there was this store near our campsite that was called JB's Trading Post. And when I went into JB's Trading Post, I was confronted with hundreds and hundreds of items of specialized gear that I had never seen or laid eyes on before in my life. But when I walked in, I was like, there were things like this cup, which I bought. I thought it was really cool, and it was one of the only things I could afford because everything was ridiculously expensive. And I was really frustrated because when I'd pick up I see the super, super high price, and I pick it up, and I was like, it's light as a feather. You know, like when you buy something, you want it to be expensive. You want it to be heavy. And so I was like, I was kind of confounded, like, this is so light, it feels like a piece of junk. And so then I started realizing, oh wait, there's a theme here. Everything's super light. Aha, I got it. This cup was one of those things I purchased. If you could feel it, I felt like it was like kind of junky, like the handle on it was like all floppy. You want to see, take a look at that cup. Isn't that really light? It's almost like a measuring cup out of my wife's kitchen almost. It's the weirdest thing, but I was like, I just looked at the cup and I'm like, see, this is not the way it looks like. It doesn't look like anything in my backpack. I looked and even they had like carbon fiber forks and weird lightweight fiberglass plastic plates and like ultralight aluminum gear of all kinds of things. To make your pack lighter, people spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars more for an item that is a few ounces lighter. They were even measuring some of those things into the grams. This is a 4-gram cup or something like that. I don't know if that's even correct. But I was just kind of like caught off guard realizing how unprepared I had actually been. And then when we got on the trail, even amongst our own guys, this was a one-time thing for most of us the year. You know, some of us might be going on a couple hikes in that year, maybe. But as we were on the trail, we would be huffing and puffing and sweating, and then suddenly this little Asian guy would pop out of nowhere and run past us up the hill with a backpack like three times the weight of ours, or size of ours, probably not the weight. And we're like, yo, how did that even come? Like, where did he even come from? And then like 5 minutes later, he comes back from the destination and passes us back down the mountain. And we're like, he's just running full speed. And we're like, how in the world is that even a possibility? And I just started realizing that I had Josh bring me a backpack because I didn't want to show you mine. It was a little embarrassing. He had a cooler one. But actually, is this Stephanie's? Oh, he gave me the girly backpack. So I started realizing that my backpack just wasn't prepared enough, and my gear wasn't exactly right for the type of journey that I wanted to go on. It was good for an everyday car ride to work, but it just wasn't exactly what was needed to be able to do the things I needed to do. When I think about that trip and all of the things I learned on that trip, and as I took a stroll through JB's trading post and noticed all the specialized gear and the backpacks and all of that, I started to think about all of the times in Scripture where I noticed a man or a woman or a family or a group of people living in a nation didn't have a home. They didn't have a place to call their home. They didn't have any permanent residency. Sometimes they didn't even have a country to call their own. I just thought of that, and I thought was realizing there was a time in my life whenever God had started talking to me about some things in my life early in like 2000. That would be 22 years ago. I think I was like 22 or 23. And God has started to get me to narrow down my life and try to get me to focus on some things. I was in Arkansas working at a counter in a parts store in Malvern, Arkansas, selling diesel truck parts and RV parts and things like that. I was a young guy. And he started to give me some information for me personally, some things I needed to trim out of my life and to work on. And by the time after a year of me working that down, suddenly I realized God was sending me away from Malvern, Arkansas, Benton, Arkansas area, and I ended up in Bible school. By the time I was ready to leave for Bible school, I was driving a Jeep Wrangler. You know, if you've ever been in one, there's not much room. Behind the back seat of that Jeep Wrangler, whenever I was ready to leave, by the time after 1 year had gone and passed, and I had gotten rid of a lot of things in my life, even physically, I was able to fit my entire life in the back of that Jeep Wrangler. It was the strangest thing, but like two tubs, my whole life was in there. And I'm like, what in the world is God doing? But I think if he would have told me the plan at the beginning, I might not have been as willing. But by the time I got to that day, God had pared away and pruned enough out of my life that I had realized that God was going to send me on a little journey. Now, when I'm speaking to the church here, you all have families and jobs and careers and children, and you have things going on in your life that are large. And you think to me, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, this guy's crazy if he thinks I'm going to try to live in a backpack, because that's just not going to work, because my kids' diapers take up a whole backpack all on their own, you know. That's a whole nother thing. And that's not what the entire illustration is, to lighten your life so much today that you would be living in a backpack. But the idea today is that you would be ready for the journey that God would take you on, be it physical, be it spiritual, whatever that is, that you would be able to be prepared. When I think of that time in the Jeep, I realize that there, and also I look into Scripture, I realize there was many pilgrims and even refugees, both Old Testament, New Testament, folks who were on a journey for God, doing things that only God could tell them to do. And if you were to ask those people in the midway of their journey what was going on with their lives, they probably have a hard time even explaining. They just knew that somehow that they needed to lighten their load. They had to move on. They had to do something in their life to get from point A to point B, because point A wasn't a happy place for them anymore. Even though it was comfortable, it wasn't something that was going to satisfy. And point B was where God was and where God was taking them. And that's where I feel like CGC is. We're right in this transition from point A to point B, where God wants us to be as a church. If you had to fit your entire life into one rucksack and carry it on your back, what would you put in it today? I'm asking you. If you think for a moment, if you could imagine this, if something were to occur, say that the United States, the government was to fall and we had to flee into Canada. Crazy thought. But just think for a moment, if that was to occur, what would you put in your rucksack? You would put in the things that are necessary for survival, I hope. You wouldn't want to put your grandma's fine silver in there. That could get pretty heavy and jingly. There's a lot of things that you probably wouldn't be able to put your entire Snap-on toolbox in there, Caleb. I'm sorry. There's no way, bro, that you're going to be able to carry all of those drawers with you. You're going to have to pick out, like, you're going to be like Marv. You're just going to have one good tool. And channel locks, yeah, just channel locks. Like, that's the kind of mindset. You're like, well, if I can only take one tool, it's got to be channel locks. Vice grips, I need a knife. Things like that. You think like that. You think, what's the most important thing I can put in here that's not going to kill me from trying to carry? If you were one of the wise men traveling from afar, knowing that you were going to have to bring the king of eternity a gift, you had to make such a long trip. It was Pastor Roy. It preached on, Christmas Eve, I'm sorry, about the long journey that they had to take. What would you pack? How would you pack for a two-year journey? How would you pack your life away for that? It's an awesome question. If you were Apostle Paul traveling on a missionary journey, what would you have in your backpack if you knew that you were going to try to plant a church everywhere that you landed? Every person that you saw was a possible convert. Every single city was a potential church. And then along the way that you would have to be responsible for the upkeep and care of the spiritual things that are happening in places that you can't even see, and you would have to be able to send letters back to those churches and to those men of God and women of God that you left behind. If you were a lifelong Jewish slave fleeing Egypt for the promised land, what would you put in your pack? If you were Apostle John or Apostle Peter fleeing Jerusalem around 70 AD whenever Jerusalem fell, what would you have in your backpack if you had to leave your home and you had to leave everything behind? But you knew that there was something about your life that was special, that was more than just the ordinary. Your neighbors were packing their groceries, but you might have been packing your notes from when Jesus taught you on the hillside. Maybe you were packing away different items that you knew were necessary for you to do the job of an apostle, whatever that might be. If you were only given one option, in one backpack to do the things that God has spoken to you to do, what things would you place in your backpack? And a better question is there enough room for it to even fit at this point in your life? Is your backpack so full and laden down with bricks and mortar of the life that you're trying to build right now that's comfortable? Is your lazy boy recliner in that backpack, are you carrying that around with you? I'm joking a little bit, but just think of all the boxes and things in your garage that are full of items that you never really used and junk that you're carrying around. And maybe it's not just items like that, but maybe it's all of the mental issues that you are letting stop you from packing the things that God wants to pack into your life tightly, neatly, lightweight. What would you have in your backpack? Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." To the Hebrews, this letter was written. Not a location, one of the few books in the New Testament that just was addressed to a group of people. Likely after the siege, scattered abroad, fleeing refugees, strangers, and pilgrims. These are images and words that are used repeatedly through the book of Hebrews. It seems apologetic, the writer of this book, to the people who were the recipients of it. Somehow they hoped, it seemed, that they would receive the letter in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It would be dispersed in a way that they would somehow receive it. These people were running for their lives, but also they were being used of God along the path that they had been scattered in different directions. the imagery and illustrations come to light when we look upon the epistles and the recipients of them. I'm asking you today, what kind of letter would Paul write to the church in Madison today? How would he have you to be ready for the future? Hebrews 11:13 says, these all died. Now I'm backing up one chapter. The chapter before this, chapter 12, is the heroes of faith, if you're familiar with that from Bible classes or Sunday school. The heroes of faith says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. It seems like Paul is saying, you know, you're not the first one to come and do this type of a lifestyle. You're not the first one to embrace this type of thing when God, you trust God, and the next thing you know, you don't know what's next. And God is sending you on a journey. This type of illustration is repeated here for the Hebrews because they were living out of backpacks and rucksacks and what they could carry on their backs, traveling abroad. Even Jesus describes his situation as homeless. In Luke 9:58, Jesus replied, the foxes have dens and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Peter describes himself a couple of times in his epistles as the apostle to the strangers. It's the weirdest thing. But Peter was writing to places that he knew where people were. They had landed somehow. They were just on their journey, whatever reason, if it was a negative or a super positive reason, they were just strangers wherever they were. Missionaries in our day still pack all that they own into a few small boxes and make their way to foreign lands. Sometimes we don't realize that when we see these missionaries up here making their presentation for their countries that they're going to, that almost everything that they own is probably in the parking lot. Sometimes it's the case. I've worked on more than a few evangelists and traveling teachers' homes, living in their motorhomes or vans, traveling from state to state. I'm reminded, again, of the time that God had me lighten my load for a Jeep trip from Arkansas to Minnesota. As the Jews wandered in desert land, the priesthood had the responsibility to carry some items. Four of the priests were responsible for carrying the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. If you think about that, it was solid wood and gold. Gold is not light. Some people have tried to do the math and calculate the weight of it, but the very minimum it would have been is 183 pounds or so. But it could have been in excess of 350 pounds. Four men for 40 years. Carried that thing on their shoulders through the desert. You think to yourself, wait a minute, where are we going with this? We're talking about lighting things up. You know, when you look at the tabernacle, it was all made to be portable. Everything folded and tucked really neatly and tightly. It was basically a giant tent. Some people estimate that the weight of all of those pieces and parts to the tabernacle weighed in excess of 2,400 pounds. Probably more. Why would somebody want to travel through the desert carrying something that's so heavy? Why would you put yourself in a situation to add more weight to your already burdened life? All of these men and women were required to also travel through that desert. They had their own lives to worry about, right? They had their own rucksacks, their personal weights. And so today, I just want to talk to you about the weight of glory and why it's necessary. And I'm going to read speedily through here. My daughter keeps on telling me I should be done by now. In the book, The Comfort Crisis, Michael Estor, the author, interviewed Jason McCarthy, Green Beret. I'm sorry, I watched the Packers game yesterday at my father-in-law's. Woo, go Packers. Only game I watch all year. But it was cool to watch Aaron stub his toe repeatedly. Jason McCarthy, a former Green Beret, who founded the company Go Ruck, a company that makes beautiful backpacks built to military specs. He said this in a quote. He said, "You never run in war without weight. You just never do it. But you're always rucking. No matter what, you're always rucking. You're rucking. Rucking is the foundational skill of being a special forces soldier. Any soldier for that matter. Ruck, the word ruck, is both a noun and a verb. It's a thing and an action. It's a military speak for heavy backpacking and carrying all types of items that soldiers need to fight a war. And to ruck or rucking is the act of marching to war with all of your gear on your back. Or it's a form of training for soldiers or civilians to get really, really fit. Apparently, rucking is pretty intense. He describes rucking as cardio for people who hate to run and lifting for people who hate the gym. It corrects your for body type. When you begin to ruck, it starts to build your body in the right way because apparently God designed us to carry things on our back. If you're too big, it'll lean you out. If you're too skinny, it'll add muscle to your frame. This, he explained, is why carrying is the foundational military fitness training. It builds humans who 1 hour can hike 75 pounds up a mountain and the next powerfully breach an enemy cell. Loaded marches in the United States Army are known as ruck marches and are part of a basic recruitment training. In order to gain expert infantry badges, the expert infantry badge, I believe, is a special badge. I'm not an Army person. Some of this Army technical words are hard for me to understand. A further qualification for existing infantry personnel. Candidates must complete a ruck march that's 12 miles within 3 hours, carrying a rifle and load. The total load, including the rifle, can be in excess of 70 pounds. The march is individual rather than in a squad, so an individual may achieve a better time than the three-hour requirement. Anyone here ever done that? We got a couple? Yeah. Was it hard? I'm assuming it was hard. I think of a bag of concrete weighs 40 pounds. Two bags of concrete is about 80 pounds. Essentially, they put two bags of concrete on their back and marched for 12 miles. That's a lot of work. I'm assuming you didn't do that on day one. And I'm assuming anything in the bag that could come out came out. I'm assuming. Paul writes, Paul, the very first long-distance rucksack apostle, gives a strong illustration to his young protege Timothy. He says, "Thou therefore, my son," 2 Timothy 2:1, "be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you've all been chosen to be soldiers here this morning. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully." In other words, you're not going to be able to take this trip without the pack that God wants you to wear, the weight of glory on your back. Paul had no doubt familiarized himself with Roman soldier life, traveling with them from prison to prison, from court to court. He likely observed many times the pack on the backs of soldiers, their entire life in a bag. No doubt he had his own as well. Today, we're at that 11 o'clock mark. I said I'd start preaching right now, okay? So, there's a phrase of the special forces it's Latin, says, De oppresso liber. the Oppresso Liber. A correct translation, I looked this up, the correct translation of this Latin phrase is from being an oppressed man to being a free one. And some understand it to be the phrase to mean we will liberate the oppressed now that we are free. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Not everybody can see what's in your rucksack. Not everyone knows the things you struggle with, or the things you deal with, the things that you carry, the problems that you might face in your daily lives. I'm telling you today, though, you should lose some of that weight this year. Some of the unnecessary things. God has designed us to carry things. And so today, I think that this message can speak in a lot of ways to a lot of different people. And typically I have an altar call, but today I'm not. I want to trade this altar moment for a lot more altar moments in the coming year for everyone. So we're actually going to do an exercise. Can you back me up? I'm only hitting that once. So one of the things, one of the main areas in your life that you need to make sure that you have in your backpack is holiness. You're not going to be able to do this job without this. These are things that need to be in there first. I feel like they're weighted differently to a lot of things, other things in our lives. And so whenever I was in Arkansas sitting behind that counter, these are some very personal things that God had impressed on me. So some of this might not make exact sense to you. These are very personal things that happened to me. There's four areas, but I'm going to walk you through these four areas. You don't have to write them down because I have a handout that I like for the ushers to go ahead and begin handing out. There's some pins. And don't fill it out or do anything with it yet. Just give me a moment. But there's seven areas in holiness that I had written down over 20 years ago, and the number one thing was prayer. God wanted me to make sure that my prayer life was right. The second thing that he impressed upon me that day was fasting. God wanted to make sure that I started beginning a lifestyle of fasting that I did not understand everything at that time, but I learned along the path. He wanted to make sure that I started studying the Bible. And in the moment that I wrote this, I didn't know that there wasn't a book of Hezekiah. Is there a book of Hezekiah? I ended up going to Bible school and finding that out. I didn't know there was four Gospels. I didn't know that there was a thing called Gospels. I'm not sure. And so I wrote this down. And also, one of the areas was witness or evangelism, that God wanted me to make sure that this was a part of my life that would never leave. Stewardship came to mind whenever God was talking to me at that parts counter about my tithing, my offering, and what I did with the money that I gave to the Lord. And not only that, but my talents that I was going to give to God eventually, more so than I realized. And even my time. Because I was a steward over my own time. Another thing that that I was being oppressed at that time in 2000, which would be more necessary now than ever, was God was concerned about the media and the filters, the world filter, basically, that I had in my life. I didn't have a good one. It was in that same week that I went back to my Jeep and I grabbed a bunch of CDs out from under the seat and they went in the garbage can. I remember looking down at them in the garbage can and like, wow, that was expensive. Anybody had a massive CD collection? Mine wasn't that big, but it was expensive. Another thing that God wanted me to work on in this area of holiness was my appearance. And for me at the time, it wasn't so much I was working out every day, and I was, you know, I was single. And one of the things about my appearance was that I was trying to be attractive to women, just to be quite honest with you. I mean, that's kind of a normal thing for young people. But it had become a problem for me, and God was trying to tone it down a bit, not to be so showy or whatever. And now I don't have to worry about that at all. So, but back then I had hair, so... But for everyone, that's different, okay? So there's no, I'm not trying to preach standard holiness standards. I believe that though holiness to me, I can simplify it very simply like this, is that holiness, when you're holy, it means that you belong to God. You're God's, basically, you're his soldier, you're his servant, you belong to him. And so what, basically, if you were employed, your employer would ask you to be a certain way, present yourself a certain way. And these things were the way that God wanted me to present myself. It wasn't an option. These were non-negotiables that God wanted in my life. And so I just want to remind everyone that we are designed to carry more than stuff. Some of the stuff that we carry, like this, if I walked everywhere with this backpack, a lot of people would ask me, where am I going, right? Where are you going? That's a good question, is that can people tell that you're on a journey, on your journey? Do they know that you're going somewhere? Are you showing enough of this holiness in your life, these items, that they know that this is a person of prayer? I can bring my problems to them and they will pray for me. That this is a person who has studied Scripture, and if I have a Bible question, man, this is a person who's going to be able to answer the question. I can come to them. This is someone, if I got a financial problem, I know that these people tithe, and I'm going to come to them and ask them, what is this about? Like, how does this even work? You just give money away and suddenly your money stays in your pocket? How does that even work? Yeah, it kind of works that way. It's weird. I don't know. I don't understand why the Jews traveling through Israel, their shoes never wore out either. But sometimes that's the way God works. Amen. But we're designed to carry more than stuff. And so for me, I think that holiness is... When you got all these things right, people know that you're carrying a burden for God. It's almost like the priesthood in the desert. They had the burden of the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders. Amen. Another thing that God was working on me, another area, if you see on your thing, I'll burn through this because I don't want to keep you here all day, is my relationships. Some of them were kind of messed up at the time. I had some relationships that were weighing me down. They were heavy to me. I was dealing with some very negative people in my life that I had to finally figure out how to cut away. I had some other relationships that weren't appropriate at the time. I don't think that was just not a good thing for me. I needed to get rid of some friends that were not good for me. And so also, God started working on my spending. He wanted me to make sure that I wasn't just loose spending, okay? When you're 22 and you get paid, you know, you just go nuts. So that's what I was like, yeah, I just got paid. We're going to go, you know, buy some new parts for the Jeep kind of thing. And it didn't always work out after 2 weeks, you know. So I had to figure that out for myself. And maybe that's different for everyone. Like I said, some of this is very personal. Some of the things were addictions in my life at the time that I would call addictions. They might not be real addictions, but some of you might struggle with some things in your life that you're like, I got to stop doing these things because they're messing me up. I need to stop eating so much, or I need to stop, you know, being lazy, or I need to stop, you know, watching Facebook posts scroll for hours on end, or are you addicted to YouTube or whatever it could be. For me right now, it's probably, this is highly convicting, man. This, when I went back and I looked at this stuff from 20 years ago, I'm like, whoa. Well, I was like, I'm drinking way too much Mountain Dew. I knew. So that's the thing. So I need to go back and look at this. But materialism. You know you can be burdened down with being over-materialistic, is that you have so many things and you just fill your house with more and more junk and you just more and more and more stuff. And it's like all of a sudden you're like, the need and desire to keep on buying things is just grows and you just can't stop yourself. So that's materialism, if you didn't realize that. That's it. You need more things, material things. And so losing that need for that is huge. Bad attitudes. This could be fear, pride, negativity. It could be anything, and this could be different for everyone. for me, one of the big problems is if I had a problem, I didn't have any savings to take care of it. And so I had worked on my life to try to get some savings up so whenever something happened, I didn't have to scramble or worry or whatever. And so some of you guys are rich. I get it. So you're like, what's the savings? I mean, I'm my whole life, I got money. But I also have seen some of my millionaire friends who were doing big, huge money stuff did not have big money savings. And when things went south on them, they lost everything. And so it doesn't really matter how rich or poor you are if you're not prepared for problems. When you're rich, bigger problems are a lot worse than whenever you're small. You need to borrow $20. You know, $20 is not a problem. And so it's even more important the more money that you have that you're more, your stewardship and your savings is there to back you up. And for another thing for me, it was time management, that I was just wasting so much of my time. And these things, I felt like God was showing me if I would get these all right, that I would feel basically weightless. I wouldn't feel weighted down. Another thing, can you back me up? One button does too, promise. I want you to understand something. The sin that so easily besets us, God can so easily reset us, okay? If there's sin in your life and you know that in 2022 is like, this is the thing I need to stop. This is the thing I need to quit. Just let God reset you. But sometimes you need to get away from the environment that you're in for a moment. Man Up Adventure, I talked about that. That's a huge factor for guys getting a reset in their life. Women, there's this thing called Heart Work, same thing. If you can't go on hikes, you might go to a conference somewhere. Somewhere God is calling you to go, though. Don't just pick something random, but maybe that'll work, but God can easily reset you, amen? Another thing at the time I was looking at is I needed to make sure my diet was right. I was resting. I was staying hydrated. I was exercising. I was being careful because at the time I was going 120 miles an hour on motorcycles and doing stupid stuff, and God was convicting me that that was not a smart move for my life. I would eventually die, and it wouldn't matter how much of this other stuff I got together. If I wasn't being careful, I would be dead. And so another thing God was talking to me is I need to have insurance in case something happens. I don't just die because they won't work on me kind of thing. And preventative health care. And now it's way more important 20 years later when I wrote this down. And so these seem light, but if you die, it's game over. You know, the thing that God wanted you to carry might not get where it was supposed to go. And so if you need to lose some weight and it's serious, or you need to work on your heart, or you need to do all these different things, it can be very serious when you're in the hospital and you're like, well, I should have been taking care of this for a long time. And now all this spiritual stuff really doesn't matter because my physical body is broken and I can't move. I can't do the things I need to do. And it just matters. It can stop you on your journey early. Sorry, you're going to have to back me up one. So I created this slide. It's like, stop making excuses. Let's start making some progress. Just exchange excuse for progress today. All right, one more slide. This one's kind of funny. Backup one. So clean. This God was literally telling me, and I wasn't a dirty person, whatever, but he's like, man, this is stuff that's on the list. Make sure that you can look at it and say, you know, hygiene and stuff. Are you clean? Do you smell like you need some deodorant? You know, that's really serious, though, because if you don't do this part, it doesn't matter how much Bible you read and how much witnessing you do and all that stuff, your breath smells bad and you smell like you need a shower, it's not going to be effective. You don't want to carry God's glory and be stinky, okay? So another thing is clutter. Like, clutter is huge, man. People just start piling stuff on. You know, I look at these people living minimalist lives online, and I'm like, how is that even possible? I don't know anybody like that, but it looks cool in pictures. I think maybe one day I might get there if I, you know, get a big dumpster or something, get rid of some stuff. But so just keeping your home and your car clean, and also your style and fashion. If you haven't looked at your style and your fashion in the last 15 years, still wearing those polyester suits and weird fat ties, man, you probably should take a trip over to Kohl's and maybe update, you know. Just, it's all right. It's all good, you know, just a little update. And thinking about other types of maintenance, and Roy's preached so much about maintenance lately, the maintenance of our homes, the maintenance of things. If you let the maintenance go, it can come back and haunt you. And waste. For me, this is a big one. I have ADD and things get left in the rain or things get, like, I don't know how many sets of pliers I've ruined by letting get wet and just stuff get wasted, you know? So it's like, for you, it might be different. And like I said, this is very personal. But another thing is hoarding. And I took this, you know, I had some family members who hoarded a lot of things. And I just like, I never want to be that guy. You know, I'd rather give it away than have it weigh me down. And so, the oppressor libre. So for us to liberate other people, we have to first be liberated ourselves. Amen? We have to first be free ourselves. And so today, I'm going to ask you to all stand. Sorry, I went over a little longer than I wanted to. But I believe that launching into 2022, that these four areas, and you could probably adjust these for yourself, but the way that this works very simply for me, if you notice the instructions, might seem kind of boring. But holiness, in my mind, is high priority with God, and it weighs higher. And so that form has, I counted it up. There were seven areas in each one of these. The first area upper left-hand corner is holy. It has 5 points, and so a total of 35. Weightless has 4 points. Healthy has 3 points, and clean has 2 points. All of these add up to 98 points, just like if you were in school, 98 would be an A plus or an A, but not an A plus. So you have to give yourself 2 points just for breathing. If you miss everything on this list and you can't give yourself any points for all of this, you get 2 free points just to try again tomorrow. But literally, you could add this up and take a look at your life and in 5 minutes have a little snapshot of the things that you might need to take care of in order to do the things that God is calling you to do in 2022. It's overly practical. I get it. But I'm asking you, as you look at this form, and I'll leave some out or have some if this is important to you, if you'd like to change some of the words to be more personal to you, you want to use this repeatedly. Every once in a while I pull this out and I just look at myself. You know, I have it set up to basically, you're not basically passing if you miss all that holy stuff. Like, you can have your life completely perfect. You could be a movie star. You could pay everyone to do all this stuff for you. Have all the money in the world. Everything could be going perfectly. But you're missing this holiness. You're basically failing at life. What's the point? What's the point of life if we're not pleasing our God and carrying the glory of God? Amen. Today, there's probably a few people in here that could pastor churches. There's probably a couple people who would start amazing ministries that could reach thousands of people. There's people in here that could write songs, write books, affect the lives of hundreds of people around them. But you just need to put one foot in front of the other to get started on that journey. You need to realize in order to make it to the end of that journey, you might have to lighten the load a little bit. Get more focused. Put things in perspective of eternity. Amen? People need to know who you are, what you're carrying. And so I'm asking you today that you'll take this form home, and even if you think it's ridiculous and you just wasted an hour and 20 minutes of your time, just give it an honest effort. And when you do, you realize there's some things on here. Maybe you feel burdened down with the fact that there's too much missing that you need to do. Dave Ramsey teaches this thing called a debt snowball. You ever heard of that? Where you start with the littlest things first and you work your way up to the biggest. Works the same way on this list, is that there might be 5-10 things on that list that you can't put points on in there, and you know, but in one day you can check them all off. Start there. Start with the easy things. So that when God speaks to us in this next year and in the year after, regardless of COVID, regardless of whatever politics are happening, that your connection with God with this holiness and this weightlessness, and you're healthy and you got your life in order and you're ready to roll, and God wants to use you as a soldier in his army, that you have things that are in the backpack that might be heavy, but they're heavy because you're carrying the glory of God to the people who need to hear it. Amen. So no altar call tonight. No altar call today. Take it home with you, okay? And they're going to sing one song, but you can be dismissed. But I want you to just take it serious. And as we go into 2022, you prayerfully consider a New Year's resolution. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Jerry. You've given us a tool to focus our intentions for the coming year, that God can use it in our lives. Thank you for being here today. If we don't see you, Happy New Year. Remember, there's a New Year's Eve service here starting at 8 o'clock, hosted by Voces Unidas and AIM. God bless you. Happy New Year.